Welcome to episode number 455 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. Simply put, Super Bowl 51 was one of the greatest games ever played. And I'm not just talking about football. I don't care what sport you want to talk about. That game is in the conversation of the best of the best. An instant classic. And I feel bad for my buddy Chad. I just heard from him today. He said he went to sleep after the third quarter. Oh my goodness. You will not find a more in-depth recap of the game anywhere. I'll run through all of the action, all of the momentum-shifting plays. I'll take you quarter by quarter through the game and the critical coaching decisions in the fourth quarter. So much to get into. Plus, odds are already out for Super Bowl 52, and the favorite should not surprise you. We'll also talk some college hoops. I'll get into that in a little bit. All coming up here on episode number 455 of the Sports Report. Thanks so much for tuning in with you every Monday. 30 to 40 minutes, high energy, fast-paced sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. So here we go. Super Bowl 51 in Houston. The game much, much better than the commercials. They were a dud. Halftime show with Lady Gaga, I thought pretty good. I would give it 2 thumbs up. Maybe an 8 out of 10, something like that. The commercials, maybe like a 3 out of 10. Patriots, their 9th Super Bowl appearance. A record 7th appearance for Tom Brady. For the Falcons, just their 2nd trip to the Super Bowl. New England opened as a 3-point favorite, and the line did not budge at all. For 2 weeks, it stayed at New England -3. What did move was the over-under. Some serious loot was thrown on the under on Super Bowl Sunday. It dropped 2 points, which is a very significant line movement. The total ended up at 56.5, maybe 57 in some spots, but it definitely fell. I stayed on the Patriots because I just don't go against Brady and Belichick in a big spot, but I did switch to the under before kickoff. Initially, everybody thought it'd be a shootout. However, I felt somebody had to know something to make the over-under go down that much. Again, 2 points, pretty big movement there. Now, last week on this very podcast, you may recall my prediction was New England 34, Atlanta 27. How about them apples? I mean, you would have done very, very well out in the desert if you went with that score. I was so close. New England 34, Atlanta 27. That's what I gave you last week here on the Sports Report. I must admit, though, again, I did switch to the under when I saw what was going down on Sunday. So, Splitsville for yours truly. But if you weren't following me on Twitter, which you should, but if you didn't see my tweet and you stuck with 34-27 New England, well, you're all smiles today. First possession, Pats went 3 and out. LeGarrette Blount stuffed on 3rd and 1. A nice start for Atlanta's defense, which really improved in the second half of the season. Young defense, 4 rookie starters for the Falcons. A penalty pushed Atlanta back to its own 8, but Devontae Freeman broke off a huge run off the left side all the way out to the 45-yard line. That was a 37-yard pickup. On 3rd and 4, Ryan was sacked by Trey Flowers, so both defenses did their job forcing punts. New England was pinned back at its 10 after an excellent punt. Brady had a couple nice completions to get them near midfield. Brady looked sharp early on. This time, 3rd and 1, they went empty backfield, and James White, Remember that name. He got free over the middle, moved the chains. New England has always done a really good job of throwing to its running backs. You have to be aware of the backs coming out of the backfield in the passing game. But Brady got sacked twice. He was hit a lot in this one. And the Patriots punted again. The third and long sack was a coverage sack. Atlanta only rushed four. Brady had a lot of time back there. Nobody was open and eventually got hit. On third and three for Atlanta, Matt Ryan could not find anyone. He was sacked. And traditionally, the first quarter of the Super Bowl is low scoring. Teams are feeling each other out, kind of like a boxing match between a couple of heavyweights. So it wasn't unusual that it was low scoring. But with these teams, you know, most people expected some fireworks. Instead, you got goose eggs at the end of a quarter. 0-0 going to the second quarter. Patriots open with a 27-yard pass to Edelman down the right sideline, but Blunt fumbled on the very next play. Deion Jones ripped it out of there. It was a great strip by Jones. He's one of those rookies I was talking about on defense for Atlanta. These were the top two teams in the NFL in turnover margin. And, you know, I harp on that every single week. And I don't care if it's the NFL, college football, high school football. The turnover stat, that plus minus, it's the most important stat in football. Each of these teams only had 11 turnovers the entire season. No wonder they're in the Super Bowl. So a couple passes to Julio Jones quickly put Atlanta at the New England 30. Freeman broke off two sweet runs. He is fun to watch, and he can catch it too. So now they're at the 5-yard line, and the Falcons were rolling. Second and one, Freeman bounced it outside to the left and had an easy touchdown. Nobody was out there for New England. 7-0 Atlanta, 12:15 to go in the first half. Five plays, 71 yards after the fumble by Blunt. Falcons established the run game. That was pretty obvious on that drive. New England went three and out. A bad punt put the Falcons back in business at the 38-yard line. Ryan found Gabriel for 24 yards over the middle. Then Ryan rolled out, which you don't see him do a whole lot. And Julio Jones made a terrific catch, keeping his feet inbounds. Ryan 6 for 6. And how good is Julio Jones? It is just incredible what this guy's able to do. With that size, the speed, the footwork, the toe tapping on the sideline. Then on third and nine at the 19, Ryan hit tight end Austin Hooper for a touchdown. He was matched up with safety Patrick Chung. Jones was double teamed. Hooper was one-on-one. So Matt Ryan wisely went to him. I'm sure a lot of fans were saying, who the heck is Austin Hooper? I've heard of Austin Powers, but who's Austin Hooper? So now it is 14-0, 8:48 to go, second quarter. Beautiful throw there by Matty Ice. The MVP was on fire. And if you've listened to my show over the course of the season, I've said that you can throw on the Patriots. Stay away from Malcolm Butler. Throw at Eric Rowe, throw at their other corners and their safeties, and that's what they did on that touchdown. Big drive, I thought, for New England at that point. Already down two touchdowns. The largest Super Bowl comeback ever had been 10 points. Had been. And Atlanta was going to start with the football in the third quarter. Uncle Mo, Mr. Momentum, on the side of the Falcons here. Third and three. Atlanta's called for holding Amendola, which gave the Pats a first down at Atlanta's 46. Good call. New England not able to run the ball at this point, and really they didn't run it all night long. That was a big difference between these two offenses. Third and nine, Falcons once again called for holding. Their third on this drive, and all three came on third down. Penalty palooza on that drive, and the flags kept the Patriots on the field. Then a game-changing play. Robert Alford jumps the route over the middle. Brady was trying to find Amendola, and he goes 82 yards the other way, a pick six, as if the Falcons did not have enough momentum already. What a great read there by Alford. And for the second time, New England had a really nice drive going. It ends in a turnover, 21-0 with 2:21 left in the half. Now, maybe you picked Atlanta. You know, they were only a 3-point dog here, but nobody had 21-0 with 2:20 to go in the first half. And Brady had never thrown a pick six in the postseason. Not once. And he has played in a lot of playoff games. So that's two turnovers and 14 points off turnovers for the Falcons. Brady dumped a pass off to James White. He got all the way inside the 30 with a minute to go. New England desperately needed some points before halftime. A screen pass to White. They went to him all night. A screen pass looked like it got the Patriots inside the 5, but hold the phone. A holding penalty on Martellus Bennett, their tight end, which put them all the way back at the 20-yard line. And when he saw the replay, it was an obvious hold on Bennett. So you settle for a 41-yard field goal from Gostkowski. And with 2 seconds remaining, it's 21-3. But I thought the Patriots needed 7 there, not 3. A critical holding penalty on Bennett, which again was the right call. All I wanted was a close game. You know, I often say that. I didn't have a horse in the race, okay? Not a fan of the Patriots, although I respect them tremendously for what they've accomplished. But I'm not a Patriots fan. I am not a Falcons fan. I just wanted a close game. Instead, we have an 18-point margin at halftime. And this postseason was filled with routes. I mean, up until last night, it was very, very disappointing. We only had 2 close games. We had Green Bay at Dallas in the divisional round, which was 34-31. Tremendous game there. And then you had Pittsburgh at KC, also in the divisional round. Steelers win it 18-16. Field goal palooza in that one for Pittsburgh. Otherwise, lopsided score after lopsided score. And now at halftime, I'm thinking, come on. And if you're at a Super Bowl party, maybe you're thinking, hey, honey, let's get out of here. The food's not real good. The beer selection stinks. You know, I'm sorry, but I'll pass on another Keystone Light. You know, maybe it took off at halftime. The Falcons offense waited over an hour to get back on the field after that extended halftime show by Lady Gaga. Atlanta went 3 and out. I thought that was a must stop for the Patriots. Nice punt return by Edelman gave them really good field position near midfield. They did nothing with it, though, thanks to a couple of drops. A deep ball to Taylor Gabriel over the middle went for 34 for the Falcons. And on that play, he broke Malcolm Butler's ankles. I mean, man, the friends of Malcolm Butler, they're not going to let him live that one down. Oh, what a route by Gabriel. Just spun Butler around. Falcons were threatening again. Gabriel and Sanu were going to get one-on-one coverage because Julio Jones was attracting a double team. And that's the same strategy that New England used against Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship. They said, hey, your best guy's Antonio Brown. You know that. We know that. We're going to double team him and make somebody else beat us. And that was their game plan going in. So now, 3rd and short, Butler's flagged for pass interference at the 6. And on the next play, Matt Ryan connects with Tevin Coleman in the flat for a simple pitch and catch. Coleman was going up against linebacker Rob Ninkovich. That was a mismatch. And it's 28-3, 8.5 minutes to go in the 3rd quarter. Now, at that point, I know a lot of you are heading out. You're leaving the party. Again, unless the spread is really, really good, or less the beverage. They got some really cool craft beers. Maybe you're staying. Otherwise, 28-3, it's a Sunday night. You got to get to work early. You got to get the kids ready for school Monday morning. You're gone. Told you about my buddy Chad, and he's a big sports fan, but he cashed out after the third quarter. New England answered, long drive capped by a short touchdown pass to who else but White with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. Patriots converted a fourth down on that drive. They had to go for it at that point. You're down 25. I was shocked, though, to see them running the football. And nobody's going to talk about it now, but you're down 25. You haven't run it well all night. Why are you running the ball? Taking more time off the clock. When they finally did score, Gostkowski misses the extra point. He bangs it off the upright, so it's 28-9. And Patriots fans have to be thinking, oh, man, I mean, that's an omen right there. What else is going to go wrong in this one? Atlanta then recovered the onside kick, which Gostkowski touched early anyway, so there was a flag there. Patriots defense held the fort, sacked Ryan on third and long, and that brought the third quarter to an end. 28-9, Falcons in front. And be honest with me, at this stage, how many of you have tuned out? How many have decided, that's enough of this Super Bowl, I'm going to bed, I'm hitting the sack? Well, New England put a good drive together, getting deep in Atlanta territory, but big Grady Jarrett came through with a couple of sacks. Patriots settled for a field goal, 28-12 with 9:44 remaining. Jarrett had three sacks all season. He had three in this game. Wow. New England's offensive line really struggled at times. They could not run it at all, and Brady was roughed up in this game. Patriots finally got a turnover of their own with 8.5 minutes to go. Matt Ryan was hit. New England recovers at the 25-yard line. Why not run the football there? You're up 16 points. It's 3rd and 1. Instead, Matt Ryan's taking a 7-step drop, and he ends up getting hit. Hightower with the sack. Branch with the recovery, and now the Patriots are in business here. I mean, they got a short field, and it's 16. So it is a two-score game. You need the two-point conversions, but it is a two-score game, and there's over 8 minutes to play. Well, they took advantage, as Brady does time and time again. They converted a 3rd and 11 to Mitchell, and later a 6-yard TD pass to Amendola. Had to go for two, and they went with a little trickery, a direct snap up the gut to White, and just like that, it is a one-score game, 28-20, 6 minutes on the clock, tons of time. The sack fumble got New England right back into the game. I mean, as you go back and 5, 10, 20 years from now, people think about that game, that is one play that you have to talk about. And you wonder why the Falcons just don't run the ball there on 3rd and 1. I mean, they were having some success running the football. Atlanta then got out of a hole, a short pass to Freeman that went for 39 yards. Nobody was even near him. Broken coverage there by New England. Matt Ryan then throws up a jump ball to Julio Jones, and somehow this guy got his feet in bounds down at the 22-yard line with 4:45 to go. Now you're in field goal range. It's a 39-yard field goal from right there. But what a spectacular catch by Jones. And after the game, Belichick said he was about to challenge. Then he saw a replay. He said, it's not even close. He made the catch easily. I mean, this guy is a flat-out stud at wide receiver. Just an athletic freak. And I mean that in a good way. However, Atlanta put it in reverse from there. A sack, a hold on Jake Matthews. And remember, a field goal makes it a two-score game. It puts Atlanta up 11. huge swing in momentum right there. Why not just run the stinking ball and kick the field goal? You're either going to take time off the clock or you're going to force New England to use its timeouts. You make the field goal, you're now up 11. Could have been 31-20. You can taste it at that point. But nope, they decided to throw the ball, sack, holding, and now you're out of field goal range. So they had to punt it, and Brady took over at his 9 with 3.5 minutes to play. Could Tom Terrific do it again? The GOAT, the greatest of all time. And I saw people after the game saying, well, now he's definitely the greatest of all time. No. He already was. Okay, he already was before this game. Amazing to me that the Patriots still had a shot. It really was. And then Brady goes to work like the maestro that he is, just carving up that Atlanta defense like a hot knife through butter. He found Hogan for 16 on a 3rd and 10 with 2:20 left. Edelman makes an incredible juggling catch. He's surrounded by 3 Falcons. Unbelievable. That catch is going to be replayed like the David Tyree catch. I mean, you're going to see it over and over. Now, it only put New England at the 41-yard line. So they still had, 40 yards to go. But that was an amazing 23-yard grab. What concentration. And if not for one of the legs of the defender, I think the ball hits the turf, it's incomplete. The play was challenged, but the call was upheld. And I thought the referees, by the way, so often we blame the refs, use them as an excuse. I thought they did a good job in this game. So now you have another completion to Amendola, and you're at the 21. A dump off to White, you're at the 8-yard line. It's 28-20. Another pass to White went to the 1 with 1 minute to go. And who do they go right back to? You got it. James White, but this time on the ground, not through the air. And he gets in for a touchdown. Once again, New England has to go for 2. Wide receiver screen to Amendola. It works like a charm. Good blocking out front. And somehow, some way, we are tied at 28. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell just happened here? What is going on? From 21-0, 28-3 to 28-all? I mean, that was a 91-yard drive under pressure by Tom Brady. So, 52 seconds left. At his own 11, that's where Matty Ice, the MVP, started the drive. Now, the Falcons were out of timeouts, but we know how explosive their offense can be. And they just needed a field goal to win the game. They end up punting, though. Patriots get it back. 3 seconds left. Can you say overtime? That's right. For the first time in Super Bowl history, we have a game going to overtime. I mean, was this fun or what? As sports fans, this is what you dream for, right? I mean, this is why you stay up, to see a finish like this. Patriots win the coin toss, get the ball first, knowing that a touchdown ends the game. They threw an out route to Amendola. That put New England at the 45-yard line. A beautiful throw by Tom Brady. Just gorgeous. Brady then hit Chris Hogan for 18 yards to the Atlanta 37. Then a 15-yarder to Edelman. A little screen to White. I mean, it just spreads it around beautifully. And White took the Patriots to the 15. Great blocking on that little pass. It was set up perfectly. Then we get a pass interference on Campbell, who was covering Bennett, the tight end. Now it is first and goal from the 2-yard line. And by the way, the pass interference was legit. That was another good call. On first down, Brady throws a jump ball to Bennett, little fade, that was nearly picked off. I couldn't believe that they tried something so risky, and Beasley was right there to defend it. He knocked it away, but man, oh man, can you imagine if that thing would be intercepted? I mean, it'd just be like Pete Carroll and the Seahawks against New England in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago all over again. But it wasn't picked. It was just deflected. On second down from the 2, they run a toss to the right. You got it. James White again. And he just gets into the end zone. They reviewed it. It stood. Good call. Game-winning touchdown. 34-28 Patriots in overtime. 8-play, 75-yard drive for the ring. Wow. Brady and Belichick now have 5 Super Bowl championships. The most ever for a quarterback, the most ever for a head coach. 31 consecutive points for the New England Patriots. I don't think we're going to hear too much about that vastly improved Atlanta defense now, do you? Remember going in the Super Bowl, that's all you heard? I warned you, I said, they are better, but you got 4 rookies over there. Now, part of the problem, they were just on the football field forever. But even with some of the poor play calling decisions, if you just get one more stop, you win the game. They let Brady go 91 yards. Sorry. You cannot be considered an elite defense when you give up a 91-yard drive like that. And they gave up both 2-point conversions. It's not like those are gimmies. Go ask Steelers fans. You got to listen to some of these final numbers. It's like a Big 12 game broke out. Brady threw the ball 62 times. I mean, he set all kinds of Super Bowl records in this game. 43 completions. 43 of 62, 466 yards, 2 touchdowns, and of course the pick 6, which at the time looked gigantic. And of his 43 completions, 6 different Patriots had at least 4 catches. Team effort as usual. Brady, who is now 39 years old, was named Super Bowl MVP for a record 4th time. He was already the greatest of all time. This just cemented his legacy. Did not need this game, in my opinion, to be the best quarterback ever. Certainly doesn't hurt his case. Brady's number 1. Joe Montana's number 2. I don't think it's very difficult. James White, 14 catches. This is a running back. 14 receptions, 110 yards. Those are both Super Bowl records for a running back. He had 3 combined touchdowns, plus a 2-point conversion. Amendola, 8 catches for 78 and a score. Mitchell, 6 catches for 70 yards. Edelman, 5 for 87. Blunt only got 11 carries for 31 yards, but when you're down big, you got to throw the football. I mean, you're down 25. Although they did run it a few more times than I thought they were going to at that point. Patriots outgained the Falcons 546 yards to 344. And I think sometimes we forget, New England's doing all of this without Rob Gronkowski. They don't have Gronk, who could be a future Hall of Fame tight end. I mean, that's like taking Julio Jones off of Atlanta, or Antonio Brown off of Pittsburgh, or Jordy Nelson off of Green Bay. That's what you're doing when you don't have Gronk out there for New England. It's a huge loss. And they're still able to go up and down the field. Matt Ryan, very efficient in the game. 17-23, 284, 2 touchdowns. He had a quarterback rating of 144 and lost. Jones only had 4 catches. I think it seemed like a lot more than that because they were spectacular catches. But 4 catches, 87 yards, I think if you're Belichick and company, you can live with that. Sanu was a total non-factor, 2 catches for 25. Freeman running the football, 11 carries, 75 yards, and a touchdown. He had a really good game. Coleman, 7 carries, only 29 yards, but he did have that touchdown catch. First downs, 37-17 in favor of New England. Third downs, Pats were 7 of 14, Falcons 1 of 8. Whew, that's a big number right there. Total plays, man, listen to this. Total plays, 93-46. New England ran twice as many plays. Time of possession, 40.5 minutes for the Pats, 23.5 for the Falcons. That is a difference of 17 minutes. And I mentioned before, I think Atlanta's defense by the end of the game was just gassed. I mean, and you could see in the overtime there, they weren't stopping anybody. I mean, they were done. Forget about it. And I don't want to take anything away from what Brady and the Patriots did here. Don't get me wrong. The comeback was amazing. But, and this is a fat Albert size but, you have to question Dan Quinn and offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan. I mean, there's a significant and critical difference between being aggressive and being foolish. You know, I bring this up when I see base runners in a game. You know, their team's down 5 runs and they get thrown out stealing. What in the world are you thinking? And then, you know, some people say, oh, he's just trying to be aggressive. No, that's stupid. There's a difference between aggressive and dumb. And too often, stupid decisions are defended by media bobbleheads saying, well, they're just trying to be aggressive. Sometimes being conservative is the smart play and the right play. And I go back 3rd and 1, 8.5 minutes left in the game. You're up 16. You do not call for a 7-step drop. You run the ball. I mean, heck, you're averaging 5.8 a carry. Even if you're stopped, the clock runs, you punt it away, you make them go the length of the field. Instead, sack, fumble, short field for Tom Brady. And even more egregious than that was what happened after the amazing catch by Julio Jones with 4:45 left. You are at the 22-yard line. You're up 8 points. A field goal makes it a 2-score game. This is a no-brainer. You run the ball 3 times and you kick the field goal. You force New England to use its timeouts and then you kick it and you go up 11 and you get ready for the trophy presentation. It is not calculus. It's not brain surgery. It's not rocket science. Instead, sack, holding penalty, and now you're at a field goal range. I mean, that sequence right there by Kyle Shanahan is indefensible. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you think he is as a coordinator or how hot and trendy his name is as a coordinator. That was indefensible play calling. And Quinn deserves blame too. He's the head coach. Captain's got to go down with the ship here. I mean, he should be telling Shanahan, look, I want to run the ball and kick the stinking field goal, and that's it. We go up 11. Now, Shanahan was the hot name over the past several weeks with what this offense has been doing, and now he's just getting torched. I mean, you see story after story criticizing him. And look, I can't blame those writers. Can't blame those reporters. You have got to run the ball and kick the field goal. Even if you're saying on the 3rd and 1 with 8.5 minutes left, even if you're saying, well, you know, still a lot of time left, okay, I don't agree with it, but whatever. But that sequence after Jones makes the catch, no. There is no argument right there for what they did. None. So always remember, there is a difference between being aggressive and being stupid. Your thoughts, your take on Super Bowl 51 and the fourth quarter play calling by the Falcons, as well as the performance by Tom Brady. Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Told you, you're not going to find a more in-depth recap of the big game anywhere. So let me know what you're thinking on Twitter, whether you agree, disagree, It's all good. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. And, you know, we're always looking for what's next, right? Never satisfied, never happy. Information age constantly changing. So, odds are already out for Super Bowl 52. Yeah, they're out there. Patriots go to the offseason as the consensus favorites to win another title. It would be number 6 for New England, tying the Pats with the Steelers for the most in league history. So here are the odds. The Patriots are at 5-1. They are the favorite to win it all. Dallas, 8-1. We know the Cowboys, always a very public team. They are the only team with single-digit odds at the Westgate Superbook, besides the Patriots, of course. So New England, 5-1. Dallas, 8-1. Then you have the Steelers, Falcons, and Seahawks at 12-1. So those are your top five teams. On the other side of the coin, the Browns and the Niners are at 300-1. They're the two largest long shots on the board. The Bears, Rams, and Jets, the only other teams with triple-digit odds. Super Bowl 52 will be in Minneapolis. New stadium there, U.S. Bank Stadium. Mark your calendar, February 4th for Super Bowl 52. So the question is, does Vegas have it right? Will the Patriots repeat? And you know how much I hate going against Brady and Belichick. Like them or not, they are the best, period. There is no debate. They are the best. Do you think New England repeats? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. And again, they were able to do this without Gronk. Really, really amazing. This is episode number 455 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows for you on Mondays. The show is in the podcast section of iTunes. Just type in the Sports Report, Paul Roberts, and voila, it'll come right up there. Or you can go to The Grizz, which is GrizzlyProductions.tv, GrizzlyProductions.tv. And you can go back and listen to previous shows. You can go back to last week's show and verify that I predicted 34-27. Now, I know close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, but if you took the over and you took the Patriots because of me, well, you know, put the check in the mail. But I actually did switch on Sunday. I did switch to the under, so I can't take too much credit, but hopefully you missed that tweet that I put out and you went with the over and the Patriots and you went on both ends. Again, I'm on Twitter at the Sports RPT. I'm a basketball junkie, you know that, so I got to sneak in some college hoops here. Another crazy bonkers weekend. 6 of the top 10 lost on Saturday. 6 of the top 10. I told you this season is nuts. Anybody can win on any given night. So much parity. I think 15 teams could win it all. No joke. Not an exaggeration. On Saturday, listen to what went down. Number 2, Baylor lost to K-State, 56-54. The Bears had 22 points at halftime. K-State came in 4-5 in conference play. Number 3, Kansas lost to Iowa State 92-89 in overtime at Allen Fieldhouse. The Jayhawks had won 51 straight games there. The Cyclones made 18 threes. Whew. So K-State and Iowa State, both unranked. First time ever that number 2 and number 3 in the country lost on the same day to unranked teams. Number 5, Arizona got spanked at number 13, Oregon, 85-58. Only thing that kept me watching was the great one, Bill Walton. I mean, he just cracks me up. He is a million times better than those Super Bowl commercials. Ugh, they were a dud. This game was a Behind the Woodshed special. Tyler Dorsey had 23 for Oregon, and they now have the longest home court winning streak in the country. Number 7, West Virginia, lost to Oklahoma State 82-75 in Morgantown. The Cowboys have won 5 in a row. They are a bubble team. Keep your eye on Oklahoma State to see if they get in. They're 15-8. They are 4-6 in the conference. Need to improve that. Number 8, Kentucky, got destroyed by number 24, Florida, 88-66. That's right. The Cats lost by 22. And this was in prime time. Pretty embarrassing for Coach Cal. Gators put up 54 in just the second half. And what do I always say? Let the line lead the way. When I saw initially that Kentucky was only a 1-point favorite, I said, oh, something stinks here. I mean, this is fishy. And not only does Florida cover, they win by 22. The line can lead the way. So that's a look back at another wild, wacky weekend in college basketball. And, you know, now we focus more on hoops with the NFL season in the books. But I want to get your take on Super Bowl 51, the play calling, Tom Brady, all of that stuff. I want to get your thoughts on the Super Bowl odds for next year. Do you agree that the Patriots should be the favorite? Do you think they are going to repeat? And certainly you can weigh in on college basketball. I always love to see tweets about college hoops. And that's at the Sports RPT on Twitter. Have a great week, everybody. I will talk to you again next Monday. This has been episode number 455 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.